Be a believer, TK.
I'm not a believer. Not yet.
Not at all.
Not after one day. Not after one game. I need a little
more.
A little more of a track record, Hugh.
It's been a whole
season.
Than
just one day with Bryce going off. I mean, look at the last couple days with the Phillies here. But talking a lot about Bryce today. Bryce Harper, incredible performance yesterday. Are you back believing in the Phillies after one game of great performance from Bryce? I'm not. I need to see more. I still think this team has a lot of flaws. And, I mean, I know we've talked about it a lot. We'll continue to over the next 3 weeks. I think a lot is going to be determined by what they do at the trade deadline. Because this team, I think they need a bat. I think they need a couple arms in the bullpen. We'll see what the Phillies do. But you want to get in, 215-592-9494. How you join the show? As I said, we're talking about Bryce Harper. Did that make you a believer again after the game yesterday? And when it comes to the trade deadline, should Andrew Painter be available for the Phils? Yes or no? What do you got there?
No, I'm just looking at Mike from Collegeville. And his what Kyle wrote up there for him, I just thought it was funny.
What?
Oh my God!
No, I'm just saying what you wrote up there. I just thought it was funny.
I think it's a mind in the gutter thing. Am I wrong?
No, it's not. It's
I'm not wrong.
Funny. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm confused.
No, yeah.
I didn't do anything special. I put his topic up there.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I'm serious.
I guess I was being childish.
You were.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But do you think Andrew Painter should be available for the right price at the deadline? Again, I'm not giving Andrew Painter away. I know he's a great prospect. I know he's one of the best pitching prospects in all baseball. But for the right deal, for the right piece, I'm giving in to my urges here. I want a real chance to win a World Series. And I think to do that, you're going to probably need to dip into the higher-end pool of your farm system. You need bats. You need bullpen arms. I'm ready to commit if the right guy is out there. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Yo, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Tyler?
How are y'all this Thursday?
How are you, Tyler?
Hey, Hugh, seeing you and meeting Kyle and Tom for the first time yesterday, it made my whole week. We had such a nice time. Tom, you had asked what you look like today. My dad and I were talking about this. You look like one of my high school history teachers who was so awesome that after class, I'd stay late and talk sports. Like, Tom,
I can't see TK teaching history.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know if I have the memory retention for that.
He's got that button-up shirt, and you know he had the little messy hair a few days ago. But I mean, Tom is one of one. So Tom has a unique sports background and all. So you know, Tom, you are awesome.
Well, thank you, Tyler.
Kyle,
great meeting you yesterday, man.
Story of.
You are definitely awesome.
Having a chance to meet Kyle and I met in the bathroom.
Oh, what was that interaction like?
Uh-oh. Yeah, that was probably
definitely interesting.
Know that.
Because I'm there. I guess Kyle had to go. I had to go. And then I'm washing my hands. And I'm like, I can't miss that buzz cut and stash anywhere. I'm like, yo, it's Kyle.
Wait a minute. You spoke in the bathroom, Tyler? You spoke to Kyle in the bathroom?
Yep.
That's a no-no, Ty.
Well,
I mean, Tyler,
it depends on what stage of the bathroom. I was about to walk out the door, and Tyler was washing his hands.
Okay.
So there was, you know, it wasn't urinal talk.
Good.
Which is very different.
I mean, but I'm not a fan of urinal talk.
You're right. It is.
There's
a big
distinction.
It is. But I just feel like, you know, in the bathroom, it's a sacred place.
Yeah.
I don't need to have a whole lot of conversation in the bathroom.
While you're doing your business, I think it's very sacred. But, like, once that's done with for both parties, I think, you know.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
I just had a flashback.
Kyle held the door for me. He said, just make sure you dry your hands off, and then I'll give you a handshake, and he did.
That sounds like Kyle.
All y'all were off.
That sounds like Kyle.
There you go.
No, I'm not about to shake your wet hand.
Yeah.
No. Neither would I. You have to dry them hands first. What do you mean?
Tyler, is Painter on the table for you or not?
So, Tom, I told Kyle, Andrew Painter is 22 years old right now. He's going to be 25 years old once Zach Wheeler retires at the start of the 2028 season. Andrew Painter is not on the table for me unless you're getting Paul Skeens back. He has been viewed as one that you can pass the torch to as a top-end starter in your starting five as an anchor with the potential of becoming your ace. And I just feel if you're going to trade a guy like that, the haul that you have to get back, like, I don't know about you, Tom, but Austin Riley is a great player, but I am not giving up Andrew Painter to the Braves. We are not helping the Braves, who have been our biggest rival, even though they're having a down year this year, even though we need a bat, unless you're getting top-end talent to match for those kinds of years. And the one name I want to throw out there to you all, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is the closer that's known as the Renegade, David Bednar, on Pittsburgh. Through the end of the season last year, he had a down year, but two seasons ago, he went 39-42. He's only had 12 save opportunities, but he's locked down all 12 this season. And you know Pittsburgh's going to be sellers coming up here. They're 38-56. And his contract is through the end of the year. He's making only $5.9 million. So you're not going to have to give up a whole lot to get him. And I get Emmanuel Clase and Helsley, they're cream of the crop. The Cardinals are in the wild card hunt. And as much as I love Clase, the Guardians use him because they don't have a lot of bullpen arms like us. So by the time he got to the postseason last year, I watched some of the ALDS last year when he just folded like a pitch tent. And that's not what we want. We don't want a guy who's going to have a .64 ERA during the guts of the regular season and then have a 9 ERA through 7 appearances in the postseason.
Yeah.
You got to get something that's more consistent.
I hear you, Tyler.
Have a good show.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call. I mean, Bednar would be interesting. I mean, that's cool. I didn't know that was his nickname, the Renegade. That's cool.
I didn't
nickname.
Know that either.
I'd be interested in Bednar, but I don't know. I feel like he'd be more of like the second bullpen arm I'd want to bring in than like the top guy I'd bring in. Like he doesn't like excite me.
Yeah, you want to be excited. You want to be wowed at the trade.
I want to be wowed. Yeah.
I think they need a lockdown closer and a guy that slides in.
Would you agree?
Few spots down.
Bednar's more like a secondary guy.
Yeah, he's not like the gem of the deadline.
If he's,
I think for the Phillies, like I would prefer if you can get him and Helsley. I think that would be pretty solid.
Yeah,
you know,
like if Bednar's like the Tanner Banks of this year, I'd be cool with that. That would work out.
You are a big Tanner Banks guy.
Well, I'm becoming more. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm becoming a Banksman.
Wow,
I am
a Banksman,
a banker. We should, you know what we got to bring back, weird. By the way? We need to bring back those fan groups.
Banks Bankers?
Yeah, Banks Bankers, something like that. Yep. When we had the Padilla Flotilla?
yeah.
All those? Yeah. Those are great. That was a great era.
I don't know if Banks Bankers is going to take off.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like that one's going to, you know, hit.
Yeah, he's pitching well. It could take off a little bit. I did want to pass this along, an angry tweet I saw from Christopher Sanchez's agent. This guy, Gene Motto.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted out, he said, Christopher Sanchez being left off the All-Star team is a travesty. The numbers cannot be ignored. Even if he is scheduled to start on Sunday, something has to change, MLB. I like a feisty agent fighting for his guy. What do you guys think?
I'm thinking. No, because I'm thinking.
You don't really have time.
No, well, it's like when you is he could potentially be messing up your money, too. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, you know, I do like an agent that says what he has, you know, speaks his mind. Though I do like that. So yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
No, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes I like to, you know, before I answer questions, I just like to kind of mill it over a little bit.
I'm fine with it.
Chew the fat a little bit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Think about it for a second.
Even though we're doing a radio show, I know, and that pregnant pause kind of, you know, throws people off.
You don't want
to think about it a little bit.
You don't want to give the wrong answer.
No, I just want to think. I want to think. You know, I want to give a thoughtful answer. Sometimes I slow it down because if I answer too fast,
Kyle's just ready to jump on you at every.
I might sound like that.
And the ambiguity.
Ambiguity. I like that one.
I don't think you've had any of those moments this week.
Well, we'll get to one a little later.
I had one today when I messed up. I forgot what I messed up, but I thought it was
fun. We'll run it back.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle's ready to go. Cowboy Jim. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Hugh, TK, Kyle. I'd like to thank the station for giving non-Eagle fans a platform like myself and San Diego Charger Aaron. What have I done to deserve this? 4 hours of Andrew Painter talk. Oh, God, football can't come close.
We literally brought it up in like the last segment,
Holy
Jim.
Mackerels. Listen, Sosa is your right-handed hitter. You need a relief pitcher because the first two games in San Francisco, those are going to be the playoffs. You need a relief pitcher because the games are going to be low-scoring, close games. That's what you need. Andrew Painter, I mean, Hugh Douglas has thrown more pitches at Citizens Bank Park. The guy's had surgery. He's getting lit up, and that's all you can talk about?
Well, Jim, what is your point here? We're talking about the trade deadline. What are they going to trade to get guys at the trade deadline?
Why don't you start a podcast?
Yeah.
That's nobody will listen to.
Jim, do you have anything insightful, or are you just calling to be a jerk?
No, I'm not being a jerk. Listen, I talked about all this stuff with Rob Cherry last night, and you have these callers, people calling in, saying the same exact thing that I said to Rob Cherry. I'm like, come on, this is getting to be ridiculous. I said the same thing. So listen, there's no miracle out there that's right-handed that's going to help you. You need a relief pitcher. That's all it's come down to. But you have no one you can trade. And you sit here and go, oh, Andrew Painter. How many times do you have to say his name? I have to take a drink every time you say his name.
Well, you say they have nobody they can trade. That's a guy they can trade, Jim.
And Devin, listen, wearing a cowboy hat doesn't make you a cowboy fan. You could be a Houston Texan fan.
Yeah, being an annoying loser does.
Well, this is your guy, Kyle. It's not my guy.
No. You made me pick between Aaron in San Diego and Cowboy Jim. That's a very hard decision to have to make.
I think I'm back on the Aaron side of things.
Wow.
Devin, you and I are going to be working that Eagle Charter together. You better be on the good side of Stewart as Jim. Because I can make your day miserable. Okay.
Wait a minute, you threatened Dale?
He's referring to himself as Stewardess Jim.
He doesn't care at this point. God. He doesn't care at this point.
Solid self-awareness, at least.
Yeah.
Cowboy, I mean, Aaron in San Diego has no idea. At least Cowboy Jim does.
San Diego Charger Aaron gets a little upset when you say something.
Dale caught astray.
All right, Jim. Take it easy. I can't take any more of him today. I mean, I think I'm more of an Aaron guy now. Like, Jim, sometimes Jim is just brutal.
It's the type of thing where your mind changes whenever either of them call.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Kyle's mind kind of stays the same.
Yeah,
he's kind of like, he hates it, with a passion.
I don't move.
And I'm not going to lie. I mean, Jim's voice is so irritating.
It's tough.
Like, it is a tough voice to listen to for more than, 2 seconds. And especially when he starts saying something dumb. I'm just done.
He kind of has a routine that he sticks to. You can't really have a back and forth with him because he just goes to the next thing.
Right.
You know?
He needs to come in. He needs to get his one-liners, his bit done. But it's like, come on, man. Add a little something to repertoire. Mm.
At least he started by talking about Andrew Painter. Like, Aaron from San Diego rants for 5 minutes about nonsense that nobody cares about. And sometimes never gets to his point.
Yeah, but Jim also didn't contribute anything valid or meaningful to the conversation.
Well, we're talking about him now. So.
It's you know, the lesser of two evils. So I don't know which one. They're both very evil. So I don't know which one to go with. Let's go to Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Tommy, you, Kyle. The thing with Painter. Mick Abel, since he's been sent down, he hasn't even pitched a game since they just sent him down the last time. You know, and I wonder why is that? You know, and he's more developed than what Painter is. I've watched all the games that Painter's pitched. Earlier, he had thrown some pitches 100 miles an hour. And in his last start, he topped off at 97, throwing between 95, 97. And his fastball, he's leaving up and they're hitting it out of the park. There's one guy, Joey Meneses. He plays for the Mets farm team. In the last two games he's seen him, he hit a home run in each game off him. So he's far away from being brought up to the major leagues. But they had an ample opportunity with Abel when they send him back down to start pitching him out of the bullpen in AAA.
Yeah, well, they're not going. It doesn't sound like they're going to do that, Joe. I mean, the Phillies.
I mean, what are they doing?
They're keeping those guys in the starting rotation. They don't want to move anybody.
Yeah, they're not even starting them right now. So I mean, I don't know why he should have pitched. Now whether he pitches tonight, he should have pitched. He was ahead of Painter on the turn when they sent him down. And in reference to what you're saying about if you could get Riley. For Austin Riley, if the Braves would offer him up, you have to go get him. I mean, he's only 28. And so, okay, Tom, if you get him, what are you going to do about you're playing him at third, and then what do you do with the bomb Harper situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be the problem, Joe. I think that's something that you need to figure out. Like you'd think Bohm might be in that deal some way if that were to happen, but if you kept Bohm, I think you'd probably have to move Harper to the outfield, even though that's not something I really would prefer to do.
Everybody, I hear you say that, and other people say it. You have every ground ball that's hit to the infield. Harper is moving. He's moving. He's moving to the back. All right. How many times does the runner and the first baseman throughout baseball get involved with contact there? If he's not reckless playing the out left field, say, go crashing into the sidewall or whatever, the outfield is a much easier position to play than first base. There's movement all the time. So I can't see where, and he supposedly said that he would move to the outfield. Why putting him out in left field would be a problem. Even with the situation with you had Bohm could play first and you want Sosa in there. What's wrong with Sosa playing at times at third? And now you've got Kemp. If you don't play Kemp most of the time, send him back down to AAA because he's going to be wasted. They'll expect him to come off the bench and do something just like they did with Weston Wilson.
Well, I mean, he's playing every day against lefties.
Yeah, left-handers.
Yeah.
Against left-handed pitching. But against right-handers, he's not playing. Harper's playing first base. And the kid's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, but he's still playing against lefties, so I'm not going to say, and I appreciate the call, Joe, but I'm not going to send him down just because he's not playing every day. If he's playing against lefties, he has a role on the team. So I'd keep him up and keep playing him.
Oh, no, I thought he was talking to Jim. I thought he was talking to me.
No,
I
got you.
Yeah.
No,
you didn't say that. Yeah.
Are you
yeah.
here?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, I'm here. That's good.
So,
I'm here.
Yeah, I'd keep Kemp up.
I've liked what obviously. I've liked what Kemp's added to the lineup. Yeah. I think he has good at bats up here.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's brought a little bit of swagger since he's been here as well. I do believe that. I think that he was one of the reasons why. I mean, for a time, they had a little bit of bump in the lineup. I do believe that.
Now, guys, we see this Matt Gelb piece, and I want to know what your feeling is as far as how much you believe it. Because Dave Dombrowski, we've heard this stuff the last couple of years, that they're going to be more aggressive, that they're going to look to do bigger things. I don't know if I really believe it. You know, I'm more of a... You know, I'll buy it when I see it type situation with the Phillies right now. Even though they say they're willing to part with higher prospects, I don't know if that's really true.
I look at it like this. There probably is some validity to it because of the Painter situation. You know, the fact that he hasn't been up here yet. So, and the fact that he hasn't been pitching, I guess saying great. He hasn't been too great. So there might be something to it. They're probably protecting him. Because he's still such a hot commodity. And the team would probably be willing to take him with a limited knowledge of you know, him pitching in the majors or no knowledge of him pitching in the majors. So, you know, maybe that's the case. I look at it like this. For this piece to come out right before the All-Star break and everything, and the team looking like they looked last night in small sampling size, they might be looking to push all in, and he might be a part of that.
Well, part of the piece did involve Andrew Painter. I don't know if you saw this quote, but Matt Gelb wrote, when the Phillies progressed in trade talks with the White Sox for Garrett Crochet last summer, they were steadfast in deeming Andrew Painter untouchable. They have held firm in that stance this July, but everyone else in the organization, according to league sources, might be available to varying degrees.
Yeah, and that would be my guess. Like, I don't think at the end they're going to trade Andrew Painter.
No.
But, like, I'm not even convinced that they're going to part with a guy like Miller, or that they're going to part with some of these higher-level prospects. It's like every year because we've heard this the last couple of years. We've heard the Jim Bowdens of the world and these experts coming out saying, oh, Buster Olney, Dave Dombrowski's going to go get the highest-end market. Well, guys, I don't think that's necessarily true.
But where I think it's a little bit different this season is, now, I think that sentiment has more come from not like inside knowledge, but more of just because we say the same stuff. Dave Dombrowski's known as that guy that's going to go all in and take big swings. And he hasn't really been here.
He talked about spending a lot of money, too. He had a lot of bravado about spending a lot of money.
Right. Now, this to me, what Gelb just wrote was that he's looking to fix mistakes from the offseason, I think you can make the case that while we all had thought in years past that Dombrowski was about to go all in, I feel like he had been more satisfied with the off seasons that he had. And like, as opposed to this one, right? Well, like the Trey Turner thing, I think he's like, well, that should be good enough. Him and Middleton are probably saying that should be good enough for us to go make a deep run. Like that lineup, that addition to the lineup should be what it takes. But now it feels like he's looked at the offseason. And I think part of the plan in the offseason was to give themselves flexibility to be able to do something like this at the deadline. I think he wanted to come into the season and let the Phillies sort of show that they're worth going all in for. And I think he does believe now that they're worth going all in for. So wouldn't surprise me if it's a little bit different this season. We do see him trade one of those top prospects.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Just when I look at it, I don't have a ton of confidence. I mean, you look back at the last few years, and really going back to the 2023 offseason, when you really dig into all the moves Dombrowski has made, I mean, it's bad. Like, the resume over the last 2.5 years or so is really bad. Like, the Trey Turner thing excluded, I think that's more of a John Middleton move than anything else. But, I mean, Taijuan Walker, the 2023 deadline where you got nothing to help you. Last offseason where you really didn't do a ton. Last deadline where you didn't do anything to help you out. And this offseason, this offseason with Romano and Kepler, been a complete disaster. I mean, literally could not have gone any worse than it has gone.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, there was rumors out there that you were trying to trade Baum, and nothing came from that. So, yeah, I get that.
Don't you think part of it, though, is, I mean, those other deadlines, they're kind of like middling moves, right? They're lesser prospects for, I mean, look, you almost get what you pay for sometimes at the trade deadline. Maybe it's just a matter of he hasn't been willing to, until now, spend more.
Yeah, and but that's the thing, and we'll see if he is willing to. I don't know if he's really willing to. I hope he is, but I'm not sure. It's going to take some convincing, at least for me. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Talking about the trade deadline, would Andrew Painter be on the table for you? Also, what we were talking about earlier, Bryce Harper, a massive day yesterday, 4-for-5. I still cannot believe that was the first time in Bryce Harper's career where he had 4 extra base hits in one game. I know it's tough to do, but you'd think that Bryce would have done that at least once in his career to this point.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
A homer and 3 doubles. Unbelievable game as the Phils win 13-0. Jesus Luzardo pitched really well as well yesterday. Phils off tonight before starting a 3-game series in San Diego tomorrow. But want to know, is Painter on the table for you? Also, Bryce Harper, did it make you believe more overall in the team after his performance yesterday to see Bryce get on the right track like that? Final segment of the show coming up. You people in the next segment. Plus, we got to get to this. Joe DeCameron. Well, there was one thing that Joe DeCameron said during his pre-match interview with Buzz yesterday that certainly, I know, perked Hugh up a little bit. We'll get to Joe explaining this when we get back. He talked about it on the morning show. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio and Jack Fritz in for Kyle Quinn as well. Thanks to Jack for stepping in.
It's not
for
true.
A minute there. What happened there, Kyle? Man.
A little longer in the bathroom than I wanted to.
Oh, you did a Joe to camera?
No, not well. Well, just leave it there.
I look back, and sometimes in this view that I have, I just can't see Kyle if he's in certain portions of the room.
Yeah.
Then I saw Jack just like look in, and Jack stepped in to
the man,
turn the bed
the
down.
The myth.
Well, so the thing is,
I'm sorry for blowing up your spot.
Yeah,
Kyle.
I mean, look, I mean, when Hugh's late, everyone on YouTube right. can see when there's an empty chair. If I'm not here, nobody would know. If it was me or Jack back here,
I could tell.
You blew me up.
I could tell when I said something. I saw Kyle react negatively.
Caught a stray.
Come on, Kyle.
I mean, it was unnecessary.
Well,
listen.
I thought it was necessary.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I'm a senior. I'm allowed to have senior moments.
You're not a senior.
That's
you.
My story. Well, and I'm
I am adamant. 5 minutes left in the third quarter for
no,
you.
No, I'm just saying. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That groan. That was unnecessary.
That's
I mean,
how,
come
that's
on.
How he rolls, man.
You have 5 minutes left in the third, Hugh. You got some time.
I got a little time.
I don't know if you have any timeouts, though. That's the problem.
No, hang on. I got a couple of time. I got one.
No timeouts.
No timeouts.
I got a little time.
Not having run out of challenges, timeouts, everything.
Yeah. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Obviously talking a lot about the Phils. We did reference Fritz versus DeCamera earlier. And again, you got to give credit to Jack. I thought he was impressive
yesterday. He stepped up. And the guys were proud of him. The guys definitely were proud of him.
And the biggest thing is, I mean, he maintained his
composure?
Stature as a baseball stature. Guy, I think.
Well,
he didn't lose it.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he definitely didn't do that.
The velocity was better than I expected it to be.
But you know what's
funny?
Did
we get a number?
We didn't get a number, but I could see the final pitch, and it looked like it was coming in
what
pretty
did it look like
solid. I mean, it looked, I'll say 70-ish.
Wow.
And if that's
70-ish?
If that's his 30th pitch, you know. Probably around 75.
Okay.
I doubt it. But
he did say his arm was hurting, though, his elbow. He said something about his elbow was cooked.
Yeah, that was to be expected, though.
Yeah, I mean,
it's good.
You
put effort into it.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So good job by Jack. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to the Joe DeCamera incident that we need to talk about in a few minutes. Something that he mentioned with Buzz yesterday that got Hugh's attention. He followed up on that today on the morning show. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. First, let's go to David in the Northeast. What's up, David?
David. Well, it wasn't nice to say just my name, David. Not Davey. Anything like that.
I agree.
I apologize.
No problem, guys. It's all fun. Listen, I think Arch, the pitcher for Lehigh, you gotta move him off. I mean, he only had like you said before, he might have been pro. He only played in one pro game. That was that one game. Bring him up. Don't let him.
Who are we talking about here, David?
We're talking about different things here.
Yep.
You
that
had
makes
guy,
sense.
Absolutely.
Mick.
Abel.
Mick Abel.
He pitched more than once in the pros.
He played one game.
No.
That's not accurate.
Two?
No. It was more like seven,
I think. Keep guessing.
He's been up here for a while.
Okay, yeah. That's with the minors.
No. In the majors.
He played. No crap. Okay. Well, anyway, with Bryce, I had it done to myself. Would anybody ever think of acupuncture if he's having a problem with his wrist?
Yeah, I've heard acupuncture.
And they don't know. Wait,
my bad. You're right. I apologize.
You.
Yeah, my fault.
Okay. Unbelievable.
So that's you doing that. All right.
Yeah I apologize.
You. Slow your roll, cuz.
I got you.
All right. Acupuncture. If he's having a problem and it's a mysterious ache or anything, give it a try. I had a trick shoulder, if you know what I mean. You just moved your arm a different way and your arm was popping out of its socket.
He's had shoulder issues in his playing career.
Yeah. Well, I got it fixed. But I was always having that ache, that achy pain all the time, up and down my arm, till I got acupuncture. So I got acupuncture done.
That's good. I don't know if Harper's into acupuncture, though. I think he doesn't do the needles or the pins.
It's the pins.
Yep.
And The Chinese, they've been doing it for thousands of years.
That's true.
Yes, they have.
And, you know.
So you think that's the answer, David? That's what's going to fix them?
Give it a try. No harm in trying.
Did it fix you?
Yes.
We can so no pain whatsoever now?
Stuff that I can endure.
Okay.
Not much. But it just felt like, you know how you sleep on your arm, and then when you wake up and you're like,
feels a little dead. Yeah,
you know,
I got
you. Just had that ache that you were sleeping on your arm.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that. And then you have to sit and try to do rowing position or moving your arm to, you know, everything gets flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Try the acupuncture. I've done it. It's not cheap.
Okay.
They can work.
Oh, you count me out.
Right. I think we should get Harper in touch with David.
Yeah. Well, David, we appreciate it, buddy. Hopefully we can pass it along to the Phillies.
I tuned out when he said not cheap.
Okay. And another thing. You
got
to do something with Jimbo. That Dallas Jimbo. He sounds like a guy that's as big as Texas.
Dallas Jimbo. Oh,
he's talking about Cowboy Jimbo. He's talking about
Cowboy Jimbo. Yeah.
Obnoxious. I just feel like pounding his face in.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's just like, okay. Hey, listen, since
no violence, right,
since
David.
Since you guys got a challenge, how about we do a little boxing number on Jim's face?
No,
okay.
No, we don't condone violence.
We're moving past violence.
Yeah.
It's whatever. All right. Just. So
you good there, David? That everything for you?
You good?
I'm hoping.
Sounds like so.
Bro, what do you think they're going to do? The Flyers are going to get a goal.
The Flyers.
I don't want no Swiss cheese in the.
I don't think anybody neither. Nope.
Appreciate it, David. Yeah, they signed a goalie, didn't they? They signed a goalie from from Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they're going to do.
Stanley Cup, here we come,
David. He has some herb qualities to him, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's herbish.
But in his own unique way.
Yeah.
Which is good. We haven't heard from David in a while, Hugh.
It's been a long time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, how'd you feel when he kind of told you to dial it back a little bit?
Well, because he was right.
I worry about that when callers speak to you that way.
Well, no, he was right. You know, I had to dial it back a little bit. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay with being put in my place every now and then.
Well, I just never know when that... I never know how it's going to go, you know? Because sometimes you don't like it.
I'm growing. It all depends on the delivery.
Right.
Because, you know, you have to gauge the delivery.
Well, that was the thing. I thought his delivery was a little disrespectful.
Well, no, it wasn't. Dave was trying to make a point, and he was right. I jumped in. I jumped in prematurely. And, you know, he corrected me. Now, I'm cool with that. Every now and then, you know, you have to be corrected by your elders. So I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave was all right.
This is a day of growth for you.
It all depends on who it is. Now, you know, some cats, you know, they mess with the bull, you get the horns. But, you know. Dave caught me, you know, he caught me, and I was wrong. I was wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong.
Okay.
Well, not really.
No, you don't.
Time for a read on our Twitter question of the day. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Is Andrew Painter on the table for you at all at this upcoming deadline? 60% say yes. He is on the table. Now, he doesn't seem to be for the Phillies. I mean, Matt Gelb's piece indicated as such. But for the right piece, I think that he should be if you're going to win it all this year. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll have you people coming up at 145. But first, we need to follow up on something from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe DeCamera, we had some good on-site reporting from Buzz before the event. He interviewed Jack, interviewed Joe. And in his interview with Joe, one thing especially really perked you up, Hugh, and got your attention. Here it was how it sounded yesterday in the pre-match interview.
All right, standing by with Joe DeCamera, the hammer, the second to arrive between you and Jack. Any strategy to that? They were talking about it on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to see him throw, which I did in the bullpen, so I feel pretty good about that. Just kind of getting myself mentally prepared in the car, which I feel great about. Also went to the bathroom and at my typical McDonald's stop, you know, after I ate lunch, which was not at McDonald's, by the way, but, you know, McDonald's pit stop, which is always needed. I feel good. I feel great. We got a great crowd here, which is awesome. And, you know, ready to rock and roll.
So, weird. I mean, a weird thing to throw in. Didn't really seem necessary for Joe to talk about his pit stop McDonald's go
to bathroom. It was for him because it's something that some guys, like, they don't get the day started until they have their morning glory. You know, it's one of those things where it's a part of the routine, especially when you're getting ready to, you know, engage in a sporting event. I knew guys like that, but they would, you know, and they would basically do the same thing that he's doing.
I agree. Don't think it was needed context in that interview, though.
Well, no, you know? But he was just trying to tell you he was prepared.
Right.
I just like, and I didn't pick this up the first time, that he goes, McDonald's bathroom stop, which is always needed. Yeah. It's not always needed.
No. I mean, he...
Maybe for you.
Yes. And the always needed part is critical to this, because I'm driving in this morning, and, I mean, I didn't need any more on this, okay? I think we can all kind of deduce exactly what happened at McDonald's in the bathroom.
Excuse me.
But Joe did decide, of course, to go into further detail. Here's what he had to say and how this is kind of, you know, a regular thing for him.
Because I, you know, my plan was drive over to the area, get food, go to the bathroom at McDonald's, which is, you know, a go-to, and then get there to see Jack warm up.
That was the plan.
That was literally the plan. It was the plan.
You go to two McDonald's.
No, this case, it wasn't McDonald's for the food. It was somewhere else for the food, McDonald's for the bathroom. You know, you go in, take the right-hand turn, bang, right in the stall.
That's just wrong.
It's just what it is. I was thinking yesterday, how many billions, or millions, but probably billions, has McDonald's made? They didn't get a buck out of me yesterday, but think how much money they've probably made through the years where people stop to go to the bathroom, like, you know what, I'm here, I'll grab Big Mac. I mean, I'm sure it's, I mean, I've done it myself. Anyway, so I got there about 11:30. Like, wanted to see.
I just don't think people use the McDonald's bathroom as religiously as you do.
I think you underrate, James. Those that know, know. You're always within, I mean, unless you're in the boondocks, you're always within 10 to 12 minutes of McDonald's. It's the one thing that you can always go to. All you got to do is put in your phone, McDonald's. There's always one within 10 minutes. I'm telling you.
I guess it's an IBS thing. I never am like, I need to be 10 minutes from a bathroom.
James,
it's very
okay, let me put it this way. Those that need to know.
There you go.
No. Okay.
That's better.
I'll ask you guys, have you ever just like, you know, stopped into a McDonald's? Is this like a regular thing for anybody else other than Joe?
It's a thing. Like Joe's right, it's a thing. I know people that they know strategically where the clean bathrooms are, I should say. And they tend to go there because it's comfortable for them. So, yeah, it's a thing. It's definitely a thing.
I think everybody's had an emergency situation before where they've needed to go to the nearest bathroom.
Sure.
And that may be a McDonald's, could be another local fast food establishment, whatever. But to act as though it's a routine for him.
No, it
is. As though he made his daily McDonald's stop.
Right.
That's a lot.
Let me tell you what I heard when he said that. Because as an older gentleman, you know, like, if you're in tune with your body, you kind of know, like, there's a window of when it's time for you to go. Like, especially if Joe seems a little bit regimented to me, where he eats at a certain time and his body responds at a certain time. And it sounds to me like when he's driving to work, there's a good chance that that might be the time that he needs to go.
Well, so.
You know, no, seriously.
I'm with you.
I mean, seriously, it's one of those things, like, for me personally, when I get up in the morning, especially because I try to eat, I don't try not to eat after 7. So I know everything kind of jumps off about 5:30. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. It all pops
know,
off.
Yeah.
About 5:30, then go get the workout in and get ready for work. And then, you know, with the gallon of water, mm-hmm. then, you know, periodically you're going to have to go to the bathroom. But, yeah, you kind of know when it's going to pop off.
So I'm with Kyle here. Like, again, like, everybody's been there. But the way he talks about this, as it's such a regular thing, is bizarre. That's not something I would do
it
regularly.
It makes me wonder if he gets recognized at his local McDonald's. Like, that's the guy that comes in here.
Right.
To just use our bathroom in the morning.
Yeah, like, how would you view that guy?
Hoover Deuce.
Like,
how would you view that guy?
Does Joe go in? Does he know the cashiers, like, by name? Like, hey, Jim, how's it going today? And he just strolls into the bathroom.
I don't know if they want kind of relationship with him.
I would even venture to say that he probably has a couple of bathrooms. that he probably hits on his way home or on his way to work.
But why can't you just wait till you get home or you get to work? I mean,
because when nature calls, TK, yeah. When you get a little, see, you ain't there yet. When you get a little older, man, you want to play with your bladder and your bowel movements.
Are you not a similar age as the camera?
That's what I'm saying.
No, like, I'm not.
No, he's not. But I thought he was talking about me. But that's what I'm saying, man. Hey, listen.
You didn't like that at all.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, no, it don't bother. It's the reality. When you get a little older, man, like they tell you, don't hold when you have to go to the bathroom. Don't hold it. Because you mess around and mess up your bladder.
But this is not, and I'm speculating, I guess, here. This doesn't sound like a number one situation.
No, this is a deuce.
Most he's certainly not.
Yeah.
He's dropping the deuce.
So, I don't know. I just, this conversation all felt like it could have been very easily avoidable if Joe hadn't willingly brought it up twice.
Well, he offered it in the last
24 hours.
It was a part of his routine.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. He's regimented.
But he clearly wanted to share it.
Yeah, because he's regimented.
Yeah.
He likes to bring people behind the curtain a little bit.
Well, that's certainly behind the curtain. There's no question about that. But now, it's time for you people.
You people.
It's time to hear from you people.
What do you mean, you people?
So, I didn't catch this instantly. I was on the phone, but Hugh caught himself. You people caught it. We had another instance of tongue-tied Douglas earlier on the show today.
Oh, we did. I missed
because that. They obviously the organization field. That's why I caught it because I laughed. That's why I laughed.
Was it organization?
Whatever I was trying to say. I caught it.
I must have been tuned out because I didn't catch it.
That's
either.
Why I started laughing.
It happens so often that it's harder to catch nowadays.
Like, yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I caught it. That's why I laughed. Yeah. I was like, because I know those cats caught it. Because they obviously the organization feel. Like, that's why I laughed.
Hullabaloo. Like, or hoobaloo.
Messed that
hoobaloo,
one up.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Happens a lot, man. Speaking of things that happened a lot this week, it's now day four of somebody thinking that Tom Kelly is Joe Giglio. Because we got to shut up Giglio in the chat earlier.
I think at this point it's a joke. It's an on-running joke.
These have got to be anti-Giglio bots at this point.
Maybe. Yeah. Yep. Joe Giglio needs to be arrested. So I don't know if
Sorry, Joe.
For something else, just in general, or if people are, again, thinking that Tom Kelly is Joe Giglio. Not Joe Giglio. He'll be back Monday. Surprised that Hugh Douglas handled the driving incident as well as he did after his crash out yesterday.
It definitely was
quick growth by you.
I was happy that Hugh and Sean in Newark had a cordial conversation today.
That was not a crash out.
I know. I was.
That was a read the room.
I think you were right.
That was a read the room.
Okay. I just thought there might be some leftover combativeness today. I'm glad there wasn't.
You call it what you want. Yeah.
I want to call it a crash
You people, and maybe me, call it a crash
I enjoyed it, though. It was fun to watch.
Tom Kelly is obviously just mad about his awful haircut.
Oh, man. I thought the haircut looked good. I'm going to have to go get another haircut now.
Yeah,
make it look better.
There's more where that came from, buddy, because you asked for it today, and you did, too. And I thought they came with some good ones. But first, Hugh Douglas looks like a rotting tomato.
That's a good one.
It's kind of messed up, man.
That's a good one.
All right, TK. You got the actor from Rudy, which
Sean Astin, I can
see a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. TK looks like a door-to-door solar panel salesman that just won't take no for an answer.
I can see it. Yeah.
I like those.
TK looks like he scalps tickets to an amusement park.
What?
I like the fact that they're real specific.
They're all very specific.
This is Hugh's new favorite thing, man.
It is pretty good, man. TK looks like a recently fired janitor. Very down on your luck in a lot of these, man.
Yeah.
TK looks like he runs the ring toss booth at your local carnival.
I can see that one.
Oh, my God.
And one more, because this is probably the worst of them all. This is not the first time we've heard this. Wow, TK really does look like a young Paul Jolovitz. Some calling you Baby Jolly.
Where is the young Jolly stuff coming from?
I don't know.
Baby Jolly, though.
That's right. On YouTube and Twitter. Like, it's out there. So
this is a thing.
Yeah, you should be wary of that.
That is I funny. Love Jolly, though. Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good looking man. So what can I say?
That's good spin.
I do enjoy the.
They came at you pretty good today. That was good.
So, you people.
Yeah,
they're funny.
Phenomenal stuff. Well done by you people as always. Let's get in Mr. Shorehands. What's up, Mr. Shorehands?
Yo, fella. So about the Joey Deuce situation, right? I can relate a little bit because when you're running all around the tri-state area, laying pipe and dropping hardwood, you got to know where the clean bathrooms is at. And I try not to leave out before I get my engine started. And I drop my deuce and then I go handle my business.
All right, no, Mr. Shorehands. Jeez.
The metaphors. Hey,
necessary.
As far as that acupuncture, though, I definitely recommend you try it. I'm having back problems. I was in a couple bad car accidents. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, God is wonderful. And I'm still in one piece, but my back is going through it. And I refuse to get surgery. But when I was in doing rehab one time, they sent me and I got acupuncture here. That relieves your back for like a month or two. Like, that was the best thing I ever had. And
oh, so you
I'm actually
keep going back.
Trying to find that. Yeah,
yeah, got you.
But it's like something you don't got to do it that often. Maybe like it depends on how it works for you. But I ain't had to go back. I ain't had to do that for like every two, three months. So I would definitely recommend you try it. You fellas have an awesome day. Go Phil.
Thanks, Mr. Shorehands. Appreciate the call. That was a weird cadence from Mr. Shorehands. It sounded like he had more to say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But then he was just done.
Yeah.
So that's good advice for
acupuncture,
you.
Acupuncture, yeah. Yeah. Acupuncture. I don't know, man. The needles, the whole needle things, and I've seen people do it. It's an art to it.
Yeah.
No question about it, but it's still a needle. And the people that usually get it, they say they don't feel it, but it's still a needle.
Yeah, that has never appealed to me.
Not the needle. The
bad
needle.
Injuries or
nah.
anything, but nah. yeah, doesn't seem like it would be great. But nah. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Kyle Quinn for producing. So the Phillies off tonight. They'll be back in action tomorrow as they take on the Padres in a 3-game series. Who do we got pitching that game tomorrow? I think we got Ranger, Wheeler, and then I think it's Christopher Sanchez on Sunday. So that's the matchups for this week. We'll obviously talk a lot about Phil's Padres tomorrow. Final series before the All-Star break. Fun show today. Thanks to Kyle for producing.
You're the man.
Stay tuned. Coming up next, the afternoon show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace!